Blog Talk Radio. have to do to make sure God's word get out on tonight. So again, I would like to thank you all for joining in on Facebook Live and on Blog Talk. I'm just excited to have this opportunity to allow God to use me and allow God to have his way in my life. And we're going to talk about our assignment. Well, I'm going to talk about my assignment and hope you can recognize your assignment throughout the ministry and let God use you with making sure you come through and get your assignment done, working on it, starting it, putting it together. I was listening to the Bible. You know, I have the Holy Bible on my phone app, and I said some words in here I find hard to pronounce. Some I find hard to even say. So I said, I know what to do. I'm going to turn my Bible on and let it read it to me itself. And when I went to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, I heard the Spirit of God say, nah, start at the 1st chapter of 2 Chronicles. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to start, and it starts off with, and Solomon, the son of David, strengthened, and his kingdom, and the Lord, his God, was with him, and magnified him exceedingly. And I said, oh, okay. So I kept reading and reading, and I got over to the 11th verse, and it said, and God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, that thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet haven't asked long life, but has wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. He said, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you. So what happened was, Solomon was able to ask God for what he wanted. Instead of him saying, Lord, I want to hit the lottery. I want a Bentley. I want a Rolls. You know, everybody that hurt me, God, just wipe them out. He didn't say any of that. He didn't say, I want the big house. I want the woman with the boom, bang, boom. Or a woman saying, I want the man with the muscles and with the muscles with the muscles. You know, muscles on top of muscles. I want him to be 6'3 and 6. I want him to be tall, dark, and handsome. I want him this. Didn't ask for that. He asked for wisdom and knowledge to cover God's people. So God said, because you asked me for this, I'm going to give you wisdom and knowledge. But with the wisdom and knowledge, God also gave him the riches. Mm-hmm. Because he understood he wasn't a king, made king to just have his way or whatever he wanted. He was made king because God was saying, I trust your father. And if you keep his ways like he did on my behalf, I'm going to bless you. So he asked God for the wisdom and knowledge so that he'd be able to judge the people and be a king for the people. So God gave him everything he needed. And as I went on and read, in the 2nd chapter, Solomon prepared to build the temple for God. And the 3rd verse, it said, and Solomon sent to Hiram, the king of Tyre, saying, as thou didst deal with David, my father, and didst send him cedar to build him a house to dwell in, even so deal with me. So God gave him favor with other kings. Because like he had said, since you have favor
and to deal with my father. He said, even so, deal with me. Don't give me what you didn't give my father. You know, give me the respect. Give me the honor. Give me what you gave my father. Mm-hmm. Give me what I needed. You know, we ain't got to fight and argue, and I got to send somebody to pick it up. Give me what you gave my father. And I listened a little more, but I was reading along on the Bible as it was talking to me, reading for me, and when parts I didn't understand, I started over so I could make sure I got it again. I kept reading and reading, and I was listening to a little more about how they built the house of God, and the length and the depth and the width and the goal, and how they laid this and cut that. Master cutters were sent. All the things and all the people Solomon needed to build the house of God, because God told David he couldn't build it, but his son would build his house. And because God gave him favor, is a good word to use, with other kings and other people, they was willing to work with him, and they was willing to give him what he needed to build God's house. And it talks about how they had gold this and gold that, you know, the porch, the altar, the covenant. And it even tells you about who was able to touch the covenant, to bring the covenant down. The Levites were the ones that was able to bring it down, the priests. It talks about all of that and what was in the covenant, I mean the ark, that Moses had put God's book, the word of God in, the commandment. It talks about what was in there. And the more I read and more I read, I began to see where, okay, let's go back. Chapter 4, the fourth verse, it says, and all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. The seventh verse says, and the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto the place to the oracle of the house, and to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim, where they placed the ark. So even with carrying something that holds God's spirit, God's, where he wrote the commandment, where it held God's power, his word, a certain type of person, a certain type of people could carry, can't know anybody touch it. Because if I read, I don't remember where I read it, but if the ark was falling and someone went to touch it to keep it from falling, but he died. See, you got to know your assignment. Because just because you're trying to do something, and it may be right, or in your heart and eyes it's right, but you have to know your assignment. You have to know when is when and when is when. Okay, and as I read on in the fifth chapter, I want to read the 13th verse. And it came even to pass, as the trumpet and the singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lift up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of muskets and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. And that really had blessed me, because they understood the assignment. They became one with the music, with the singing, with the praising of the Lord. They understood the assignment. And when they came together, a cloud. It says, filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So, you know, when the house of the Lord is filled with his spirit, if you are really in tune with God, you can see it. Now, I said that because I'm not telling you something I heard. I'm not telling you something somebody told me. I remember one time we was in church. Our great late Apostle Frederick Thomas was alive, and Pastor Frederick Thomas. Our church, which is called Fountain of Living Water now, was No Cross, No Crown. And we was at the building we was renting, and we was having service. And on this day, the Spirit of God was so high. Everybody became one with the praise, the worship, the music, the acknowledging of God. Just, I was in such a deep place in worship. When I opened my eyes, as I continued to worship God, I saw a cloud. I kept saying, what is that smoke? But I never stopped praising. I never stopped worshiping. And it dawned on me that the Spirit of God had came in to the house. It dawned on me that Spirit of God was with us. We was in the holies of holies. We was in a place where we could not not see or receive God. Whatever you wanted and you was praising and praying for at that time, if you believed in your heart, you would get it. And I said, oh, my God, to just witness the fact that the cloud was in the room because we was all on one assignment. We was praising God and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. So when I read that years ago and I read it again today, I remembered that. That when the people, it says, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of muskets and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had built the house of God. So I'm saying that to say this. Hey, James, thanks for joining in. When you are on assignment and you know your assignment and you are allowing God to operate in your life and you are allowing God to do what he has to do and you surrender to him and you worship him and praise him in spirit and truth, the Spirit of God will overtake you. His Spirit will enter the room. And when he sends a cloud, you know, I'm sure you all have looked up in the sky at some time and say, oh, that's a beautiful cloud. Look how that cloud is shaped. Or you're flying in a plane, you look out and say, I'm flying up in the cloud. I can see the cloud, how it looks like you could just walk out there. But, you know, we know that's not going to happen because the plane cuts through the clouds, whether it's going up, coming down. You don't fly through it because you can't see. So when the Spirit of God came into the place, even the priests could not minister. See, they knew their assignment. Now, I kept on reading, and I read and over, and when I got over in the sixth chapter, I started seeing some other things. I started hearing some other stuff, and I said, oh, Lord, that's good. I said, okay. Kept on reading. I got over to the seventh. You know, that's the one we talk about a lot. But when I got to the third verse, it says, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Again, when the people, children of Israel, saw how the fire, God had sent fire down from heaven for the sacrifice, when they saw how the fire had came down and the glory of the Lord was upon the house, they bowed themselves with their face to the ground upon the pavement. So when they bowed, they put their face upon the pavement and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Now, I read it in 5 and 13, and I read it again to you, 7 and 3. I'm kind of excited, plus I told y'all my face is itching. But anyway, as I read on, and I went down to the 6th verse, it said, and the priests waited on their office. Officers, the Levite also with instruments of musket, and the Lord which David the king had made to praise the Lord because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministers and the priests sound trumpets before them, and Israel stood. See, you got to understand when you know your assignment. And when you come into an agreement, when you hooked up with some people, you come into an agreement. Or when you and your spirit and your mind and your heart and your soul begin to hook up and understand, I'm on assignment for God. You know, all our lives we've been hearing people say, you know, you on God's assignment. You on God's assignment. So, you know, everybody think it's new now when they're on Facebook and Instagram and all these other social media saying, I understood the assignment. No, we've been on assignment a long time. We've been told a long time, you are on assignment for God. God is your office minister. God has work for you to do. See, we've been on assignment since the day we were born. Or I can go back and say the day we were conceived. Because when God told Jeremiah, I knew you even in your mother's womb, I knew you before. We was already given an assignment before. So you have to understand, knowing your assignment and being on assignment is not new. No, it's not nothing new. You have to always be, hey, Minister Margot, thanks for joining in, ready to acknowledge and accept your assignment. Now, as I read on, and listen to the Bible, read it to me as I read along with it, I got over to the 11th verse of the 7th chapter. It said, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosper, you know, when he built, when Solomon built God's house, he stayed on assignment because God told David he couldn't build the house his son would. He stayed on assignment with building God's house. And as he built God's house and filled God's house with the things that David had for God, King David, and with the things he put in there for God, God blessed his house also. He prospered as long as he stayed focused on God. We gotta stay focused on God. We can't get lost and caught up in things we do or things we say, you know. Because I like when people say to me, I see you on Facebook doing your little ministry. I say, to the glory be to God. Because, see, what you think is little, it's okay, because the word teaches that God will take a little and use it and make it much. So when they say, I see you doing your little ministry, it tickles me, because I know it's nothing little about my God. He owns cattle on a thousand hills. My God owns this whole wide world, universe, the universes, as they want to say, because it's other planets. It's like a bag of marbles. When you take some marbles out of a bag and you throw them on the ground or throw them on the floor, or bed or carpet, whatever, they go into different areas. That's like the universe. God put everything in its place, every universe, everything in its place. So when God made us, we all are uniquely made. We're all been put in our own place. But we all have a assignment. And our assignment is to make sure people know how to handle God. So you can't handle God like you do a baby. Mm-hmm. Now you can know his word is gentle. His word is right. His word is powerful. But you do know you messed with an awesome God, the creator of everything, and you want to call him, his word, a little. Maybe little to you, but I bet when you get in trouble or you get sick, I bet the first thing come out your mouth is, oh, God, oh, my head hurts. Oh, God, my stomach hurts. Oh, God, my back hurts. Oh, God, why they have to cut off my lights? Oh, God, why they have to run into my car? I bet you ain't hollered, old McDonald's at a farm. E-I-E-I-O. They hit my car, slammed my door. I bumped my foot and hit my toe. E-I-E-I-O. I bet you ain't saying that. But you want to say little. Mm-hmm. My God ain't little. My assignment ain't little. No matter what. I know God is God. No matter what. I know everything that God do is big. I don't care if it's you had a splinter in your finger, or you broke your nail, or you broke your glasses like I did. Everything God do is big. Because if you break your nail, if you don't mend it, attend to it right, it could get a fungal or a bad infection. If you break your glasses and do like I did, put somebody helping you out, put more glue on it supposed to, didn't even tell you that they put that much on there. You sit it on your face, and as soon as you do this and you put it on, and you go to talk, and you say, wait a minute, what's this? Oh, my God. Be like, glue. Oh, my God. See, that was the first thing I said when it was said glue. I didn't say, oh, my God. I didn't say, why you? I said, oh, my God. Because, see, one thing I do know, I'm allergic to glue. And I thank God that the effects that normally happens to me didn't happen. I'm going to see if I can find it. Show y'all something else I'm allergic to. And even though I can't eat it, I like to have them around me. Ooh, I'm allergic to it. I'm allergic to grass. But I know not to go in it. See, we know the simple assignments that we want to acknowledge. But we act like we don't want to know the assignment that God has put before us. Now, as I begin to read on when it talks about how Jehovah God appears. Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha. You know, we got so many names for our God because we have so many places we need him to operate in our life. Jehovah Kadesh. We have a lot of names we call our God because he knows his assignment. When he died on the cross for us, and he said, God, not my will, but your will. But he said, take this cup from me, God. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. He knew his assignment. He stayed faithful to his assignment for me, for you, for all of us. I wouldn't have did it. You wouldn't either. Yeah, I know. We don't even want nobody telling us when we wrong, let alone whoop us, beat us, spit on us, nail us to the cross. We don't want that. So Jesus came back, and he made a way for us to have the right to the kingdom of God, because we know we had lost that. See, he was on assignment. Now, we have to stay on assignment. So when the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayers and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now, this is the one we always want to talk about. What I just read was 7, 12, and 13. We want to talk about 14 and 15. We're going to even go down to 17. We're going to start with 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that was made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my mind and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Now, I'm going to stop right there. That's chapter 16. When God said that he has chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. That made me have to sigh and sit back and think and wonder, God, show me and teach me how to make my house where you will sanctify it and put your name here forever. My house. The child that I bear, my house. The children that he will bring into this world, my house. I'm a part of my mother's and father's house, and they are a part of my grandparents' house. What I'm saying about that, this is our house. This is where we live. This building that you see me, this is the building, but this is the house I'm building for God to dwell in, my house. And every seed that comes from within me, because of the seed that I come from and the seed that my parents come from and so on and so forth, because of the house they built, we're still building our houses down to the 100th generation. And each time one of our houses is building their house, they're building to the 100th generation, so it keeps going on and on. And I'm saying that I want God's name to be on my house. We know the word say forever. We know the meaning that we looked it up in a dictionary from children growing up and hearing people talk about forever. We know what it says, and we could imagine. But the word also said a day with God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day with God. Do we know what forever really means? I want to be on assignment for my house to bear his name forever. And he said, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Mm-hmm. Y'all, I don't know about y'all, but I want God's heart and eyes and ears and his spirit and everything to be perpetually right here. The 17th verse says, and as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, this the part. As David thy father walked, and do accordingly to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgment. 18 say, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fall thee a man to be ruler in Israel. So I'm saying, if I could keep God right here, I know my assignment. My assignment is to be a vessel used by the Lord. My assignment is to be a vessel happy to be used by the Lord. My assignment as a vessel is not to embarrass God. My assignment is to do God's will. That's why I learned that I have to pray, God, not my will, but your will. God, get the glory out of everything I do. God, when I don't understand and when I get overwhelmed, God, teach me how to meditate on you day and night. Teach me how to let it go and let you restore me, rebuild me, revive me, refresh me. God, I want to know how to express it, but God, I don't want to blame you for anything, because I do know that I don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in or pull anybody through. But God, if you could just bless me to stay on assignment, teach me how to walk on assignment, teach me how to talk on assignment. But God, also teach me how when to shut up. Teach me how to be still. Don't always be moving around. Teach me how to know when to sit down and just look and listen. Don't let me always have to look for another way or some other kind of way. Don't let me always have to have the last word. Teach me how to listen, God. Teach me how to go back to that shut up and quiet ministry. See, that's what a lot of us don't know. Some of our assignments is a shut-up ministry. Some of our assignments is to get before God and stay before God ministry, not just when somebody's looking. See, when other people are looking in the natural, God looking. Some of us may even need to put a little sticky on each mirror and doorway, places that we walk by, refrigerator, stove, that we could see every day that says, God is watching. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, people have on their gates outside, beware dog. Mm-hmm. We need to put some signs up there, beware God is looking. We need to get back to the place where it's okay to not always have an answer and let people know, I don't know. I have people at work ask me certain questions sometimes, and I just say to them, I said, I'm not aware of that. I don't know anything about it. But let me look into it. By me being a union steward, I said, let me look into it. I'll get back with you. Sometimes I can get back right away. Sometimes it takes a little bit. Because sometimes people put things out there to people because they want to be important. You know what I mean. They want to look important. They want to always have good news. Everything ain't good news. I hate to say that, but everything ain't good news. And when you get news that's not good, don't be quick to say something. I hate when people say, oh, I know how you feel. I know what you're going through. Really? Do you? Honestly? I doubt it. You never know how anybody feels about anything. But while people are talking to you, you should be talking to God. God, what do I say? What do I do? Sometimes God will just say, just shut up and listen. Sometimes God will tell you to hug somebody. Sometimes God will say, let's pray. Some people like pity parties. See, that right there, that's something I have to pray over and over and ask God, God, please don't let me get caught up with somebody with a pity party. So while they sitting over here want to have somebody that say, me too, I know me too. Hey, hold up now. Let's pray. Let's pray the power of God, the strength of God just overtake us right now. Let's put ourselves under the Holy Ghost of rest and say, God, this thing right here. This thing right here needs to be cut out. This thing right here, it don't need a Band-Aid over it, God. It needs to be surgically removed, spiritually, surgically removed. We have to get to a place where we have to say, I'm not collecting nobody else's garbage. I'm not letting nobody else fill me up with their mess. I'm not letting nobody else fill me up with their trash. Before I take some more in, I'm going to stop you in your step and say, let's pray. And when you see people put on Facebook and other places or they call you personally and say, pray for me, pray for a loved one, ask God. Sometimes God will just say, trust me. And I'm saying, sometimes God will give you a word to pray, or sometimes God will just tell you, trust me. Tell them to trust me. My will shall be done. And then if you know people going through, a lot of times you need to ask people, what is it that you want? Mm-hmm. I'm saying when you pray for somebody else, like say I come to you and ask you to pray with me for somebody else, before I ask you to pray with me for somebody else, if I have a chance and I'm able to, I'm going to ask them what they want. I'm going to go back to a time like, me and my sister was talking one time, and I told her, I said, I remember when our mom was passing, they kept resuscitating her. And at one point, my mom said to me, she said, stop. Stop calling me back. She said, let me go. And I said, but mom, I need you. She said, I can't take this pain no more. She said, let me go. I want to go with the Lord. He's calling me. She said, do right, live right. Do what you've been taught to do, and you'll see me again. And I had to look at her, and I said, Mama, but I don't want to let you go. She said, it ain't what you want, baby. She said, I have done all I could. I have gave you all I had. The word says, let a man stand. My mom used to always say, let every tulip stand on his own bottom. So when I looked at her as I weep, I said, I don't want my mom like this because she would have been a vegetable. She didn't really tell me what she wanted, but she'd have been a vegetable. And I told my sister, and she said, uh-uh. She said, I couldn't let her go. She said, I would have been like, Mom, I don't care. I want you. Because, see, there was two sisters with the same mom, same parents, but yet we both was able to share how we felt about a situation. That's why when people say, I know how you feel, no, you don't. Stop telling people you know how they feel in situations, whether it's good or bad, because you don't. Know the assignment. Sometimes your assignment is to just don't do nothing. Pray. That's the assignment of all the time, 24 hours, 7 days a week. That could be your conscious, continuous assignment. But don't always be saying, I understand. No, you don't understand. Sometimes people are in situations that it's going to probably sound a little rough or a little harsh. But sometimes people are in situations God needs to take the person out so they can get a peace of mind. Now, y'all, don't be sending me no emojis and stuff like that. But it's the truth. if the shoe fit, wear it. Sometimes people need to have people removed out of their lives. Whichever way God want to do it. I just want you all to understand that the God I serve is such an awesome God. He gave me an assignment a long time ago. I tried running. Y'all, check this one out. I even tried to hide. I know that's funny. Could you imagine me hiding, trying to hide from God? I was always this big now, y'all. Even when I was slim, I tried to hide and say, well, God knows my heart. You know how well God knows my heart? Not only did I keep hearing pastors say it, I kept reading it and hearing other people say, yeah, God knows your heart. And he said, there's no good thing dwelling in the heart of man. Ah, y'all know it's true. We was born in sin and iniquity. We was born out of place in God, that we had to work our way back to him. So when you sit back and you think about things and you say things, don't say it because it sounds good, because you're going to be responsible for that. When you have to show compassion for people, sometimes the best compassion you to show them is say, let's go to the throne of God. I was reading in the book of 2 Chronicles, and it was talking about the porch, the altar. It was talking about the covenant that God had made. It was talking about the ark. When you start listening to what you read in your head, you know what I mean by listening to it? When you read something, read it again and again till you hear in your head what you read. And you will start hearing that it talked about how to approach God's presence. It talked about knowing your place. When his spirit, when the cloud came in the room, even the priests knew that they couldn't minister. See, sometimes we don't always have to minister. You know, you'll hear people say, I don't come over here because I don't want to hear all that churchy stuff. She don't talk to me. She church talk me. She preaching at me. She not. See, you got to be wise. Some of you all need to have a wise assignment. I told you, Solomon asked God for wisdom and knowledge. When somebody tell you, I remember once a good friend of mine, Pastor Deborah Blackshear, she told me at work, she said, Sylvia, God said, ask him for whatever you want. And I said, huh? She said, God said, ask him for whatever you want, but be careful with what you ask him for. And I said, wow. So what I did, because I wasn't saved, even though I had been in church all my life, I wasn't saved. I said, God, make somebody give me a car. You know, I'm saying to myself, because in my spirit, I said, God, if you really said it, make somebody give me a car. And I said what kind of car I wanted. Because, see, I thought she was really just saying it to me. I really did. I'm going to be honest with you. And I said what kind of car I wanted. I done told y'all this testimony before. Y'all know what? They gave me the kind of car I said I wanted out loud. I spoke it. And when that happened, I said, ooh, I knew that was going to happen. I would have asked God for a Lexus. I would. But you know what? I learned then I had to be careful with what come out of my mouth. See, some people say, ooh, girl, I said this to God. I said, no, I said some dumb stuff. I'm going to be honest. But I was blessed with the car. Don't get me wrong. But what I should have did was what Solomon did. I should have asked him for knowledge and wisdom. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have went through a lot of things I went through in life if I had asked him. Yeah, I took a deep breath on that because, see, some of y'all needed to think too. Until we learn how to ask God for knowledge and wisdom. Because everything we ask him for, we're not ready for right now. Everything we ask him for, we may never be ready for. God may not give it to us like he told David. You can't build my house. your son will. See, some things God ain't going to give me because of the lifestyle of things I've done. I'm just going to tell it. He's going to bless my son with it. But I thank God for that because, see, that's me building my house. I'm staying on assignment because I'm asking God, what is it that you would have for me to do that if I can't get it, God, let it fall over, my cup run it over to my son. Let him get it. You know, it's one more thing I want to say before I really close out the service on tonight. When you understand your assignment, it's not really about what you want, what you need, what you gotta have, what you really should get. When you understand your assignment is about God's will, everything else will come along. Because when Solomon asked him for knowledge and wisdom, he said, because you didn't ask for these things, you gave it. See, I'm learning not to ask God for things that's going to expire. Things that's going to rust out. Things that's going to perish. I'm learning to ask God for things that's going to cause somebody to be heavily bound, where their name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of the things they watch in me. I told you years ago and recently, people are watching. When they say, why she get all these things? You know, people say you're lucky because they refuse to say you're blessed. I'm blessed. I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. And when I took a CT scan today, they told me I'd get some news in 2 days. I got some news in 2 hours. I thank God. Yeah, I just don't know. I'm not scared to say it. I'm not scared to tell on myself. Smoker for years. Scared and terrified. Thinking it was one thing. But God, my God, my God. I thank God for the message I got. I thank God for him delivering me. I thank God for things he's still delivering me from. I thank God for everything he has done. See, a lot of times when we don't tell on ourselves, other people can't be free because the devil has tricked them into believing they're the only one. But you're not. So many of us have gone through, dealing with God knew where you were at, what you were doing when he called you. See, we got to get past ourselves. We got to get over ourselves. Until you can do that, God can't use you because you still sitting there with your three, me, myself, and I. But you got to get about his three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It ain't about you, yourself, and you. It's not that. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, okay? So with that being said, I hope you all got something out of this word on tonight, whether you look there live or you're going to go back and look at the replay or somebody tell you about it. But I'm saying this, trust God. That's it, Ms. Margo. Nothing is hidden from God. Trust God. Be honest. Be open. Tell people some stuff. Let people know you are not the only one. You heard of addicts. You got all kind of addicts. Everything ain't a drug addict. You got gambling addicts. You got pickpockets. You got deadbeat dads, deadbeat moms. You got all kind of addicts. Ask God for deliverance or whatever it is from A to Z. God is not tired and through delivering if you're not tired and through of asking, waiting. Just know God is God. Stay on assignment. Your assignment is knowing that God is God. Now, remember, our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I thank God for Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser. I thank God for, let me say it right. I thank God for our overseer, Apostle Elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. I thank God for Minister Sheila Kaiser. I thank God for Minister Brandon Kaiser. I thank God for Minister Margo McCourt. I thank God for Minister Ron Montgomery. I thank God for Mother Toni Montgomery. I thank God for Apostle-elect Pastor Troy Thomas. Yeah, I said it right. I thank God for Prophet Antoine Thomas. I thank God for Elder Lon Seabury. I thank God for every last one of them, and I thank God for our family. I'm saying a special prayer for my cousin Cynthia Seabury. Little Cynthia is what we call her. I thank God because every time somebody gets loose and thirsts after God, the enemy attacks them. I thank God for the overcoming. I thank God for the deliverance. I thank God. You all, I would love to go on, but I can't. It's time for the program to end. You all, we didn't pray at the beginning, but we're going to pray on this end. I hope you can stay with me for these last couple of minutes. I'm going to go over. I need you all to understand. You see how the weather is changing. Just the other day, it was 40-some, 50-some degrees. Now we're back in a snowstorm, and they're talking about more snow. That's how a lot of our lives is, messed up like the weather. We don't know if we want to be cold or we want to be hot. That's in the Bible. He said you're going to be hot or cold, because if you lukewarm, he's going to spit you out of his mouth. You got to stop being iffy like this weather. Get hot or get cold. But you got to be for God. You could be on fire for him, or you could be freezing for him. What I mean by that, every word come out your mouth is ice cold. Don't just know how to play these words that mean this, mean that. Play the words of God that mean one thing, salvation. Mm-hmm. You can receive salvation, or you can receive damnation. Either one is either way. It's your choice. You're going to either choose to live with him, go for him, be about him, or you're going to choose to go the other way. But I want to go up. And I ain't talking about on the elevator. I'm talking about with God. So that let's pray. Father God, we thank you for every listener on Blog Talk. We thank you for every viewer on Facebook. God, we thank you for everything you have did on tonight, done on tonight, everything you have said, everything you have released. God, we just thank you. We ask you to cover every household, everyone that's seeing this live or coming back in the archives on Blog Talk or coming back on the replay on Facebook. God, we thank you for everything you've done. We thank you for bringing us out. We thank you for keeping us on the altar, God. We thank you for the spirit of exposing ourselves because people need to know God is still delivering. People need to know that God is still making breakthroughs. People need to know that God is still alive. He ain't asleep or dead. People need to know because they need to see it through us. His epistle who are bred by all men. God, I thank you. Unblock our ears, oh God. Blinders and the shackles off our eyes, oh God. Take the heart of stone out, God. Give us the heart of flesh to receive what you're saying. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for your breakthrough, God. I thank you for the manifestation of your word, oh God. I thank you for everything that you're doing, God. I thank you for safe travel. I thank you for covering us on the highways, the byways. God, I thank you for the homeless, God, keeping them covered, keeping them warm, keeping the people that are willing and able to go and bless them with food and warm gear and clothing and anything that they need, God. I thank you, God. I thank you for the warming centers. I thank you for the landlords that care about their people, God. The ones that don't, God, touch their heart that they will care about their people. Turn up the heat, oh Lord. Thank you for the food pantries and shelters, God. Put a special blessing on the food shelters and the pantries, oh God. We thank you, oh Lord. Bless my family, oh God. Bless this ministry. Bless Smile 3E, her sharpening eye. God bless everyone that's attached to me, God, from left and right, front and back, north, south, east, and west. God bless my family. Bless my cousin James, God, and his company. Bless his wife and their children, oh God. For whatever he asks you for, God, we may never know, but I ask you, God, to put a blessing on his name. Put a blessing on his company. Put a blessing on my family, God. God, they say that on in the media all the time. God, teach us how to put respect on your name. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Teach us how to put respect on your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, teach us. Teach us how to respect you and your word, oh, God. The fear back in your people. God, that you are not a joke. God, put the fear back in. Teach us how to call on you for real and wait on you, oh Lord. Thank you, God, for the change that's coming. Thank you for the change that's taking place, oh God. Everyone that looks at this video, God, I place them under Holy Ghost. They won't be the same anymore. For God, we are on assignment, and on assignment we shall stay. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for joining in. Come back on Sunday morning for our very own apostle-elect, our overseer, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and Minister Brandon Kaiser at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. God, we ask you to let everybody come back Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our very own Minister Margo McCord. Minister Margo, I got it right this week. This is the third Monday. And if you come back on Friday, it will be our very own Prophet Antoine Thomas. God bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him, oh God. Bless him. The enemy tried to attack one brother, Pastor Servant Troy Thomas, who's healing. Keep him in your prayers. And he attacked the other, the prophet. But we know God is able. God is able. I don't know what happened. I just saw a little picture on Facebook. But I tell you one thing. Jesus turned different colors too, but he healed. And look at him, prophet. Look at him. We're going to trust God concerning everything. So with that being said, y'all, know God is able. God is good. God is great. The word on tonight say, for his mercy endureth forever. He is good. He is great. For his mercy endureth forever. Is there anybody on Blog Talk that like to have any words right now? Please go ahead. Okay, I went a little over. Maybe they've been hung up already. But I thank God. James, I thank God for you joining in and checking on me and speaking to me. You call him. I call him James. I call him Jim, whichever one. But I'm going to tell you like this. Family, God is going to bless you. God is going to bless your company. It's going to be nationwide from country to country in a minute. Just hanging there. Just start watching the phone calls you get. Let me know when it starts coming through because I know, see you. I can see you. God is awesome. So with that being said, don't forget Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. So with that being said, good night, everyone.